Our final speaker is Ellen Gabriel. She was well known to the public when she was chosen by the people of the Longhouse and her community of Kamisetake to be their spokesperson during the 1990 Oka crisis. For the past 22 years, Ellen Gabriel has been a human rights advocate for the collective and individual rights of Indigenous people. In 2004, Ellen Gabriel was elected president of the Association of Indigenous Women, positions which she held until December of 2010. Ellen believes in the decolonization that will be achieved through the implementation of the Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous People and with the complete participation of Indigenous people. Ellen fights for the equality of the sexes, for the revitalization of the Indigenous languages, Indigenous culture, traditions, and governmental structures.
Avant de parler, je voudrais dire, c'est un grand honneur de être à côté de mes sœurs courageuses Innu. Merci. 500 years ago, Europeans came here and saw a land of plenty. It was about beaver pelts and furs, about fishing the salmon out of the St. Lawrence. It was about the dehumanization of Indigenous peoples. It is estimated that after a century of contact with Indigenous peoples, 3/4 of the Indigenous population in the Americas were killed by either war or disease. So as far as I'm concerned, the laws of Canada, the laws of Quebec, the laws of the territories in Canada, and yes, that of the United States and those in the Americas, are designed to exterminate the rights of Indigenous peoples, whether it's through law or whether it's physical extermination. There seems that they will not rest until we are finally gone and there is no longer any question autochtone or Indigenous people's problem, Indian problem. Le Plan Nord is something that is headed for disaster for this planet. For those of you who are close to my age, which is 53, you can remember when people talked about saving the Amazon because of how much oxygen it provides this planet. Well, we have a boreal forest in Quebec that also provides oxygen and supports and strengthens the biodiversity of this planet. And I'm hoping that Madame Marois will not follow the same path as Jean Charest and see that the land is worth something more without a building on it. Because within it are the medicines, waters, the fish, the purity of nature. Canada and Quebec and its provinces and the different territories in Canada do not yet have a legislation protecting biodiversity. The Convention on Biodiversity is very weak, and if at best, a token gesture by the international community to oblige states to protect the biodiversity within their sovereign states. What my two sisters, Innu sisters, have been talking about in protecting the land for present and future generations is not a new message. It's one that has gone on for centuries. And they are both sincere, as I am sincere, in asking for people to help Indigenous peoples stop the madness. We talk about capitalism and consumerism, and yet we go out and we're all just as guilty, and be consumers that urge the mining companies to continue their destructive activities. We have the technology to discover that there is water on Mars. Wow, there's water on Mars, that really helps us now. And yet we do not have the brains or the willpower to come up with a better system where there will be sustainable development, where you can continue to be consumers and practice capitalism without destroying or contaminating this planet? Where are the economists meeting with the environmentalists? Have they even done that yet? We have legislation up the yin-yang for amendments of the Indian Act. There has been exactly no accommodation by this present fascist government in Canada, because they are not interested in human rights. They're not interested in human rights. You heard Stephen Harper at the G20 this year welcome European businesses to Canada. Come and plunder and take all that you want from Canada, because we've just passed a huge omnibus bill that fast-tracks environmental assessments. So come on in. We'll give you the license. Just give us the money. And that's what this government is about. That's what Jean Charest was about. And that's what Obama is about. Do not kid yourselves. Obama may be a good man, but he is dealing with a huge bureaucracy of a government that will not allow him to do what I think he wants to do. And why I talk about the United States and not just Canada? Because my nation also lives in the United States, in what's called the United States. I don't want to talk just about Canada or the Plan Nord, because what you see happening in the Plan Nord has been going on for centuries. The ignorant and despicable and racist way that we are treated as Indigenous people, where elders are put in jail for standing up for what is their right. We are not just custodians of land. We have jurisdiction and authority over those lands. I want to quote Maria Braveheart, who is a Sioux academic and coined the phrase historical trauma. And she says, the rule of law, a fundamental principle of Canada's constitution, has ensured that Canadians experience peace, order, and good governance. Meanwhile, Indigenous peoples experience historical trauma and to continue to fight for their legal rights of self-determination. And one of the reasons why the UN Declaration for the Rights of Indigenous Peoples took so long was that you had a Liberal government helping to draft text for the Declaration, and when a Conservative government, a very right-wing, fascist-minded government, came in, they decided that they did not want the term peoples for Indigenous peoples, because peoples is not a minority. Peoples means you have self-determining rights. You have your own language, your own traditional governance system, you have your own land base, and minorities do not. So any bureaucrats, any government bureaucrats out there, do not mistake Indigenous peoples as minorities, even if we are not the majority of the population, because that's part of the problem. The difference in this Plan Nord between men and women, and I can tell you, as having survived being a candidate at the AFN for National Chief, the difference between men and women is that you have a good old boys club, and that they're not all like that, so I don't want to generalize, but there's quite a few and too many who think exactly like the businessmen, who see our land as exploitable, who see our land with dollar signs. And why? Because we have legislation against us for over 100 years to prevent us from being successful business people. The Indian Act had in one of its statutes that it was illegal to buy fruits or vegetables from an Indigenous farm, from an Indian farmer. If we want to develop economically, the person from the Department of Indian Affairs or whatever department that is assigned to us has to make sure that our business is not competing with a Canadian or Quebecois business. And then they will help us become business people, help our business succeed, if that. And I mean no disrespect to the men in this room or to any chiefs, but why is it I always hear women And a minority of men talk about Mother Earth and protecting her for present and future generations. Why do we have organizations negotiating our rights as indigenous people when they are a civil society organization? Why are we so colonized that we are looking as communities in dealing with government and not as nations in dealing with government? Because we are big industry for Canada's job creation. Erwin Cutler, many moons ago, and I was there when he said this, he was the Minister of Justice for Canada at one point, it said that Aboriginal people are the fastest growing industry in Justice Canada. And it's true, we are an industry. We are an industry because there is money, pockets of money for us, whether it's victims of crime, whether it's for shelters, whether it's for psychologists or lawyers, there is money to be had. We are just numbers in the economic game. And the UN is coming up with some very important principles and guidelines for businesses to include human rights in their policies. But I can tell you honestly, and as my sisters here can vouch for it, it's not coming fast enough. Because we are losing people, because we've had the Indian residential school, and that's why I say we are not the same as minorities. Kidnap children, treat them as if they were not human, do not give them any nurturing, do not give them any love, punish them if they speak their language, and then send them home when they are adults and expect them to have children. The church says, go out and have children. And then you expect us, just because there's money to be had for compensation, to already be healed, to forgive. Well, I tell you this, in my heart, I will never forgive anyone who abused an Aboriginal child in a residential school. Forgiveness is not something in my vocabulary. And there has to be something done. And I see a lot of men, and it's nice to see so many men in the audience, because so many times it's mostly women that I'm talking to. But I talk to you both now, both genders. If you have children, raise both your daughter or your son to respect themselves and respect the other gender. Because violence against women is a crime against all women. And violence against Aboriginal women happens 5 times more than any other group in Canada. And with mining companies, they come in and they look at Aboriginal women as if they can violate them with impunity. It happens today, and it happens all over the world. And it has to stop. Mining activity is probably one of the worst first abusers of human rights, but they violate the women. Women get violated in war, as we saw in many places throughout this world, and here in Canada, except they legislated it. They made it legal. They still make it legal. We had research done for murdered and missing in Aboriginal women. What did the government of Canada do? They gave it to one of the biggest perpetrators in the world, in Canada, the RCMP. They gave the money to them and said, here, you handle it. Well, unless your sons and your daughters and unless your institutions start doing something about teaching young people about violence and what it actually does and what it means, unless they start teaching the history of colonization in this institution and in other institutions and in your sons and daughters' high schools, we will continue to spin our wheels in the mud in trying to get justice for Aboriginal women. And with the Plan Now, and I remember going up to Chisasibi in 1992 or 91 and being at the airport in Chisasibi. And 96% of the people there were Hydro-Quebec workers. And I felt so vulnerable. I was with two other friends of mine, and there was 4 young Cree women, and they came and stood beside us. We didn't even know them. They just wanted to be with us. And those Hydro-Quebec workers were drinking and laughing and making fun of us. And then you wonder why women start standing up against these activities. Sure, we're all for creating jobs. We're all for having a quality of life. But at what cost? Why does it always have to be the land? At the rate this global society is going, with mining activities, with you know, any kind of resource development, It's like as if they know that tomorrow the world is going to end, so let's take as much as we can. And there's no self-reflection. It's always about rushing. It's always about the money and creating jobs. Because in the next election, I'll have to demonstrate how many jobs I created for my constituents. And that's why Aboriginal people need your help, because the majority of us do not vote. Why? Well, I can tell you why a Mohawk doesn't vote. Because we don't see the Canadian government as being our government. I cannot tell you why the Innu don't vote. I don't know if you vote. Because we don't feel like we belong. We feel dispossessed within our homeland. This is Mohawk territory. But I don't see anything in this school. I don't see anything in this city that tells me this is the land of my ancestors. $80 million, $80 billion over 25 years. That's quite a lot of money. But as my sisters will agree, you can't eat money when you're hungry. You can't drink money when you're thirsty. And you can't feed money to your children when they're hungry and trying to grow. There has to be a better solution to what we have than the Plan Nord. It's going to hurt the environment. And I know there's agreements already done. And I don't want to criticize anybody who already has agreements. But I remember one chief telling me, saying, I didn't want to accept, but I don't have anything for my community. There's no jobs here. You know, every time we hunt caribou, the government arrests us. They don't respect our customary laws. We're going to lose that traditional knowledge because Indigenous identity is linked to the land. Our languages are linked to the land. And that's why I believe that they know exactly what they're doing to Indigenous people. When they talk about making amendments, when they talk about legislation, everything is intentional. That's why they don't accommodate us. That's why they don't want to talk about implementing the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People. That's why they don't want to tell their constituents the real story of colonization. That in 1880, Canada, which now shares its money with the provinces and territories, assigned itself fiduciary responsibility over a trust fund for Indigenous people. It's not your taxpaying dollars that pay for our community's health and welfare and social services and education. It's money from our lands and resources. You know, McGill University borrowed money from the Iroquois Confederacy in the 1920s, and they haven't paid us back. What do they tell us? Go back to the Canadian government and get it from them. You have to tell Mohawks when to stop, eh? Because we could go on forever. So I just want to talk about the bigger picture. The bigger picture is that we're living in a global society that where our youth and children are looking at a little box all the time. How often do you greet somebody on the street and they bump into you because they're too busy looking at their cell phone? And the earth is, you know, where nobody's paying attention to the signs of the earth. This was the first really normal summer that we had. And when I hear people say, oh, this is great, we got sunshine, 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 the farmers need the rain. When you have, I don't know what it was, 20 degrees in March or February, that's not normal. The land needs time to rest. The land needs, because underneath there's things growing that we don't see. And as that planet heats up because of what we're doing, we're taking away our chances of survival. The Earth is going to survive long after we're extinct, you know. The Earth is going to be around. She's been around for billions of years. We don't even know how old she is. She's going to be around a long time. So for those of you who are running your car in summertime because it's too hot and you want air conditioning, think about it, what you're doing. Do you ever walk on a road and when a car passes by, you can smell the exhaust? Well, it gets diluted, right? It gets diluted, particles per billion, whatever. So for all we know, what we're breathing right now is contaminating our lungs. Does anyone die of natural causes anymore? It's just something to think about. And I often feel that like we're preaching to the converted. And I really, really appreciate you all being here tonight. Because the issues that these two ladies have spoken about and the issues that my ancestors were talking about long before either any one of us were born was about peace, was about coexistence. It was about respect for the planet, respect for all our relations, and understanding that when you put things in the water and then you drink it, that it comes back to you. Everything has a spirit. And I wish Mr. Harper were here today to understand the principles of karma. And George Bush were here today to understand the principles of karma. Because as I understand, it may not come back to him, but to his children. And that's what we need to think about, as these ladies have said, as my ancestors have said. We think about it for what will happen to 7 generations from now. But let's not forget about this generation. And I'm so happy to hear the babies talking to us tonight. Because that's the way it should be. Because children should be educated. There are certain things where we should allow them to be children and they don't need to hear the big fussing and fighting of adults. But one of the things in the longhouse was that they were, you know, children were always part of or listened, half listened to discussions. The Plan Nord is an evil plan as far as I'm concerned. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm glad to be shown if I'm wrong. But as I said, with all the brilliant minds in the world, the Nobel Peace Prize winners and sending a robot to Mars, you'd think we'd come up with a better system in the economy. You'd think we'd come up with sustainable development. We're all here together. But I can tell you one thing, as a Mohawk and as a woman, I won't let go the fight. We'll continue to fight, as my sister's here, because it's worth it. Our land is worth it. Our languages are worth it. Our cultures are worth it. And I think we're all worth it. So spread the word to the people that you know are not the converted. Invite your chiefs and politicians to sit down with us, because they do not have the goodwill that my sister here talked about. It's always about how much can I buy your rights? And as far as I'm concerned, there's no price tag on those rights. So I want to thank you, thank the organizers for doing this. And I hope this continues, because this Plan Nord is not going away. Nyoko wa Tony Gowanaga.